Welcome to Outside the Box with Ascendia USA, a podcast educating U.S.-based e-tailers on international shipping topics and how they can expand their global e-commerce footprint.
Welcome back to Outside the Box with Ascendia USA. This is Nick Agnetti.
And I'm John Walsh. We continue our previous conversation about the top three global e-commerce markets for U.S. shippers to target.
Okay, let's pivot. UK. So UK is, our second largest, what we as an organization in terms of our exports.
What are they on your notes there globally?
Excuse me. I will take care of the notes. No problem. So what we've got here is, and again, data December 2023, the most advanced e-commerce market in Europe. Mm-hmm. Revenue, which I love the name, is being remitted and reported to Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. It's the third largest e-commerce market in the world underneath China and the United States. Wow. And the output annually is estimated at $169 billion with a B.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so any of these markets that we mentioned today, which is also interesting. So if you're a seller listening and you're thinking, oh, he just talked about, you know, my sector of business. So top, I think it's six or seven areas of, you know, exports or however you imports, whatever you call it. We're looking at electronics, fashion, skincare, cosmetics, self-care, hobby, and leisure. I feel like those last two are a little broad, but the first four are pretty specific. So, I mean, we see it all the time. All day long, apparel, skincare, all those guys. And they're all doing a good amount of business to, again, these more affluent, developed, and really top-ranking countries. And the UK has some stringent...
Yeah, they're specific rules.
VAT rules, yes. Because of everything that happened with Brexit.
Yeah.
Because they're not officially part of the EU member states, right? And so they require any seller that's selling into, you know, to UK customers to register and remit, collect taxes, collect VAT, and then remit those funds on a regular cadence. But it's also self-monitored. So there's really no official policing at this point that we're aware of. It's a very interesting situation. And the VAT's, you know, it's 20% VAT.
Yeah.
But service to the UK is fantastic. It's fantastic.
So to that point is what do you see average 4 days?
Four to five business days.
It's amazing. Door to door.
Oh yeah. Process
full
to
tracking,
delivery.
Visibility.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Some things I was looking at. So our parent company Geopost has a website. They have a barometer on there, eShop barometer. Like
That's a great tool.
They post what each individual country's habits are. So something that came up that were a little different with the UK, and I think it's more because there's a lot of brownstones and they're tight neighborhoods and things like that in the deliveries. Free shipping was number one.
Oh.
Number two was no hidden fees at checkout. They like to see the complete delivery, how that's going to be.
So the final mile carrier.
Correct.
Okay.
Choice and speed of delivery. So they like a choice in the shopping cart to your point, because I think this transits are so good. I think there's some options there that are more, some are postal, some are commercial, right?
Sure.
The fifth one was clear return policy, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
And it was when I looked at some other countries, they were much higher in these five categories, which is, I wouldn't say the word interesting, but I thought it was, to your point, is they're different than everybody else over there.
Yeah,
a different look of way it is. But again, I don't see them as challenges, but I see them as opportunities for most shippers in the U.S., right?
There you go.
Yep.
Turn that frown upside down. So the other thing I want to add on to that too is what's different than, and again, we're talking today about Canada, Australia, UK. So UK VAT rules duty and tax rules, when you talk about de minimis, again, my Latin term that I mentioned earlier, as a true scholar, what I'd like to highlight is that there is no de minimis for the UK.
Right.
There's none. So taxes apply on everything starting from zero all the way up. Duties don't apply till you get up to 150 British pounds. And then at that point you've got taxes and duties. Now there's no provincial differences. It's a straight, 20% VAT tax. And typically, a shipper, would have, and you talk about landed costs and details and a better experience and such, would have it broken down at the time of when you're purchasing, when you go to checkout, they would have the merchandise, the goods cost, they'd have it, what the taxes are.
Right.
They'd collect that at the time of checkout, then they'd have the shipping costs, and then you got your total cart. But UK really, I mean, with Brexit and everything they did there, that, I mean, it is simple. There's no de minimis. And again, 150 British pounds and over, duty and tax.
Awesome. Awesome.
Pretty easy.
Let's talk about the last country, which is Australia.
Last but definitely not least, right?
Yeah. Very large economy, very large buying power, have very high de minimis, right? Can order a lot of merchandise. Interesting enough, they love buying from the U.S.
They really do.
Obviously, probably because of de minimis, but they can buy a lot of product. But, you know, they're very consistent. I did notice in some stuff from that I was reading, they're very big into healthcare, health and wellness items.
Yes.
And apparel.
Self-care.
I don't think that's a surprise. Most countries are in those two topics. But those two particular verticals, they're big into. Is that what your experience has been? I know you have a couple of large customers like
Skincare, fashion, right. Self-care, all those things are huge for Australia. Yes. And, you know, let's go back. And I seem to be just spitting out facts this episode here. So
that's my job. But I don't use, you know, funky terms.
We'll
switch it out this time.
Got on the Goog machine before we got started. And here we are. So 11th largest e-commerce market in the world. GST rules that we will discuss applied as of July 1st, 2018. So quite a while. It seems like a lifetime ago, right? But ultimately what it's saying that is if you're an organization that's overseas, so you're a US-based seller selling into or selling to Australian shoppers, and you're selling over $75,000 worth of goods annually,
right,
you are required to register for GST and collect the 10% GST at the time of sale and remit those funds on a regular cadence. Now, what John was referring to with the high de minimis is that there's a 1,000 Australian dollar de minimis for duty threshold. And so duties will not be assessed until you purchase something over Australian dollars. So you'd have to buy quite a bit.
Yeah. One thing, I was looking at something else I wanted your take on. They apparently, I guess since the pandemic, their buying habits have changed, right? Mm-hmm. So they're more apt to buy when there's a special.
Mm.
Okay. And they're more cost conscious than they were before the pandemic, probably because they were locked down for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that the cost is more than service. But quite frankly, with our services have improved quite a bit. We're, you know, now we're inducting in four particular cities in the UK. Our average transits are 7 days now.
Australia,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
I mean, and it's full tracking. It's been such a better experience in the last 7-8 months since we changed our strategy.
Significant. It was a little rough there for a while. I mean, really, I mean, they shut down. We go back to, not that I want to talk about the pandemic, but the reality is that, you know, Australia was very conservative with shutdowns,
right.
and which led to, I mean, heck, the USPS pulled out for how long?
Months.
It was months that they just said, we're not shipping into Australia.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, with significant air freight reductions in terms of actual supply lanes of, you know, the ability to get material over to Australia, it cut down. The transit times were very high because we had delays in, you know, parcel processing. But on top of that, too, we were looking at, it was almost double, right? From what, if you look at 2019 to 2021, probably right. Double. And now we're back down to getting close to what we had in 2019, which is fantastic.
Which, you know, if you look at it from a domestic standpoint, if you got 7-day average domestically, probably 5 years ago, you were a star. You're doing 7-day average to a country that's halfway around the world and you're getting 7 business days. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So if that's something we can help you all on the phone here, or on the podcast here, it's a really good service. Obviously, to your point, it's one of the largest lanes.
Absolutely.
It's a real good opportunity for a lot of companies to hop on that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just, you know, recapping, because we've been yapping for a while here, but we're going to recap. So today we focused on, you know, the challenges cross-border shipping to top three e-commerce markets. And again, that's from the perspective of a US-based logistics company, which is going to be, you know, direct consumer, which is going to be Canada, UK, and Australia. Any questions, concerns that you as the listener have, you know, add it to anything that you see there. Send it into the email address, the contact us. Wherever you see this, add a comment and let us know. And also let us know if there's anything that you want to hear about. We would love to get your involvement as well. But John, is there anything else you want to recap and kind of cap off of for today's talk?
The only other thing I would ask the audience is if they want any more Latin terms.
Oh, boy.
And we can ask them if that's how they want that presented, and we'll go from there.
Just one per episode.
That'd be fine.
Okay. I'll get on the Goog, and I'll figure it out, okay?
No. I'm just joshing you. Okay. No, that was really good information today.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
If you want to support our podcast, the number one thing you can do is share it on your social media and tag Ascendia.
That helps us get the word out, and we really appreciate it.
Be sure to subscribe and download our podcast. If you want to learn more about today's topic, email us at ecommerce.usa@ascendia.com. And check back frequently for new discussions on e-commerce shipping to Canada and worldwide.